Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number 10, Alec Baldwin.
Of all the talk shows, yours is most geographically convenient to my home.
Thank you, Alec. Thank you. Number 9, Barbara Walters.
Dave, did you know that you wear the same cologne as Muammar Gaddafi?
Yes. Yes, Barbara. I do know that. Number 8, Steve Martin.
Your extensive plastic surgery was a necessity and a mistake.
Well. Number 7, Jerry Seinfeld.
Dave, I have no idea what I'll do when you go off the air. You know, I just thought of something. I'll be fine.
Thank you, Jerry. Very nice of you. I think Jerry may have a benefit later. Number 6, Jim Carrey.
Honestly, Dave, I've always found you to be a bit of an overactor.
Number 5, Chris Rock.
I'm just glad your show is being given to another white guy.
You know, I had nothing to do with that. Number 4, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Thanks for letting me take part in another hugely disappointing series finale.
I had nothing to do with that either. Number 3, Peyton Manning.
Dave, you are to comedy what I am to comedy.
It doesn't make any sense. Peyton! Oh, my God! Number 2, Tina Fey.
Thanks for finally proving men can be funny.
I like that. Things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number 1, Bill Murray, ladies and gentlemen.
Dave, I'll never have the money I owe you.
Oh, no.
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Ball State University alum and comedian David Letterman has donated more than 1,000 memorabilia items, including 15 Emmy Awards he won as talk show host to his alma mater. Items started arriving last August, and shipments continue to arrive on campus. Now, David Letterman, who ended his late-night reign back in 2015, was the longest late-night host in history. And the Letterman Archives at Ball State will be preserved, protected, and eventually shared with students and the public. And joining us to talk about the collection is Michael Shayevsky. He's a senior archivist for Ball State University. Good evening, Michael.
Hi, how are you?
I am excellent. First, you know, as senior archivist for Ball State, what are some of the responsibilities in your role?
Sure. Well, we work to preserve, to document, record, and protect archival materials of enduring value, things like historic photographs, films, rare books, archival posters, things of that nature. We not only preserve them, but we make them available to researchers, whether they're students, community members, faculty, the general public at large, and we do that. We have a reading room, but we also digitize materials, describe materials for online accessibility so that people can Google, people can do all sorts of online searches and discover these exciting archival materials. We also do instruction and public presentations and exhibits. So a lot of different types of activities related to preservation of valuable historical records.
Let me ask you this. Since you've been in this role, what is the coolest or oldest things that you have found in the archive that you just look at and go, wow?
Well, I would have to say that the David Letterman archive is probably up there. 15 Emmy Awards, certainly. We also have some rare books, illuminated manuscripts, things from the 1500s. Wow. People use the term bookworm to mean someone who likes to read, but we have rare books from the 1500s that have actual holes where actual bookworms sort of burrowed their way through. These would have been things that were at monasteries and things like that. So, you know, I think we have a lot of things that would appeal to a lot of different people, but certainly a lot of our students who come and really love looking at those old books and things like that.
Very cool. Just a little background on Letterman. He graduated from Ball State back in 1969 from what is now the Department of Telecommunications.
And actually
some years ago, maybe about 30 years ago, started a scholarship program there, which is really cool, right in the early days of late night with Letterman. And it's based primarily, I read about this, on creativity and not grades. And him being, as he said, not the greatest student himself, he figured that was the better way to go for a scholarship than on how creative you can be, because that's really the world of comedy and television and broadcasting rather than the grades that you're getting.
Right, right, certainly. And he also donated a lot of funding for a really state-of-the-art building here on campus, the David Letterman building for telecommunications that opened in 2007, and that's been a really huge asset to our telecommunications faculty and students.
Yeah, as I say, just to let people know what Dave's donated, it was a $21 million-plus donation to build this building for classrooms and all that other good stuff. And he also started the public radio station up there, right?
He gave funding for the student radio station, and the students have done a fantastic job. I'll occasionally tune in, and they've always got some creative and cool programming on there. So Dave definitely has left a lasting legacy and impact in many different ways on the campus.
And back in 2015, the year that he retired, he announced he was donating a treasure trove of archives to the university. That must have gotten you really excited.
Right. Yeah, we weren't quite sure exactly at that moment what exactly would be arriving, but back in August of 2016, that's when the first big shipment of it came in here to campus, and it was just fantastic to see what sorts of material was there.
I noticed you guys listed a top 10 artifacts donated. I want to go through some of this stuff just to talk to you about it, because I know you've seen and touched some of this already, and I've seen some pictures.
Sure.
Number 10... 27 commemorative late night with David Letterman and late show with David Letterman jackets, a limited number of which were handed out every year as Christmas gifts to staff and close friends. I've seen these jackets over the year. How cool is that?
Right. I know. They're all very nicely framed, and we'll be able to exhibit some of them and preserve them here in the archives. Definitely a sign of how generous Dave was and how much a camaraderie he had with the staff and crew of his shows over the years.
Number 9, 16 early career photographs of Letterman as a stand-up comic, and he was a newscaster. Was he a weatherman, too, in the 1970s?
Yeah, he did broadcasting, weather broadcasting here in Indianapolis in the early to mid-1970s, always injecting a little bit of humor into his weather broadcasting. He also hosted like a late-night movie kind of program in the 70s as well.
That's what 70s. You did, though, in the 70s. When you worked for a local television station, you wore about 50 hats.
Right, right.
That's cool. Number 8, a blue and gold late show marquee from the Ed Sullivan Theater. That is the coolest thing that I have seen all over the place, was you standing in front of one of the marquee graphics. How cool.
Oh, it was fantastic. Just the size of it, and just to see something that was so iconic in such a prime location in New York City, and then here it is in a warehouse at Ball State University. We're very lucky to have all of these materials, really a great asset to the campus, but that was just so visually impressive and cool to see and stand next to. Absolutely.
It's iconic. It's such a representation of the opening of every show, and right, if you were in Times Square and you were in New York City, I mean, that's what you went and saw, and as soon as you saw that sign, you just put a smile on your face, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. A real treat.
Number 7, the host desk, guest chair, stage platform from the set of Late Show at the Sullivan Theater. Wow.
Yeah. So many famous and prominent people sit in those guest chairs. It kind of gives you some goosebumps when you look at some of the photographs of celebrities and, you know, prominent political persons who've sat in those chairs, and then you stand right next to it and put your hand on it and have a seat in it. So, again, really, really cool artifacts that we have here in the collection.
Now, do you have the backdrop as well of the city? behind the desk?
We do not have that. I'm not sure where that wound up, but we have a stage platform, a carpet, guest chairs, host desk, et cetera. So we'll be able to recreate a good sort of portion of the set and exhibit that here for people who are on campus, definitely.
A collection of, number six, a collection of more than 50 audio, video, and film recordings, mostly documenting Letterman's early career, including his work at Ball State's WBST radio station and his work as a broadcaster and weather reporter. So a lot of audio and video content as well, and I assume that's something that you're going to want to digitize and make available at some point.
Absolutely, yeah. Certainly for access and for preservation purposes, these things can degrade pretty quickly compared to other types of records. So we're going to get those cleaned, preserved, and digitized. I haven't gotten a chance to see what's on any of them because we don't have equipment to play a lot of it. And so it's going to be a real treat when we get to digitize those items and view them for the first time. I'm sure many of them haven't been played once since they were created back in the 70s, so that's going to be a real, real treat.
I'm a board member for the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago, and we get tapes like that all the time. And sometimes you've got great quality, and sometimes as you're running it through the machines to digitize them, they like crumble as they go through. So it's the last opportunity for some of those things. Number five, photographs of Letterman with mentor Johnny Carson. What a great relationship the two of them had for so many decades.
Absolutely, yeah. It really a huge break for Dave's career as a stand-up comic and writer was being a guest and eventual guest host of The Tonight Show. And we have photographs of some of those very early appearances, him and Johnny sitting next to each other on the show. So really cool stuff.
Number four, a letter from Letterman to radio announcer Gary Owens of Roan and Martin's Laugh-In seeking career advice back in the late 1960s.
Oh, it's fantastic. A really funny, charming sort of letter that really shows Dave's personality. And you know, I think it's something that our students and students all over can relate to, you know, having career ambition, having interests, but not really knowing, you know, how to get there and reaching out to someone. So I think that's an item in the collection that will really resonate with a lot of different people.
Number three, signed photographs from President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama of their guest appearances on The Late Show. He had so many different presidents on his show over the years that sat in those iconic chairs. And then number two, Letterman's Kennedy Center Honor Medal from 2012. Other honorees that year included Dustin Hoffman and Led Zeppelin's lead singer Robert Plant. And of course, as you mentioned, the number one artifact donated to Ball State University was a 15 Emmy Awards won by David for not only Late Night and Late Show, but people forget that he had a daytime show called the David Letterman Show that won some Emmys.
Yeah, it did.
That's very cool.
Very short-lived, but definitely caught the eye of some producers who gave him a crack at Late Night.
Now, what is the process like inventorying and going through all this?
Sure, yeah. It's certainly a detail-oriented process. We've done a lot of research to sort of understand the background of the materials, understand the context, research the dates and the persons pictured in the photographs. Then we'll go through and we'll identify and order sort of archival and museum-quality supplies to ensure the long-term preservation of the material, special acid-free folders and boxes, foam to preserve the Emmy Awards and the other statues and awards and things like that. So it's definitely a process that requires a lot of detail, but certainly well worth it to preserve a collection of this stature and of this research value.
How do you place values on each item? Because I know, again, from a museum perspective, you look at comparables, I guess, things that were valued in other places around the country. But it's kind of hard because, first of all, the collection is priceless, but eventually you have to put a value to some of the stuff.
Right, certainly. Well, we've been working with an appraiser, actually, based out of Chicago, who's been able to help us determine the value of this for insurance purposes and all of that. But really, from my perspective, what I'm most interested in is the research value. What will different students, scholars, what will the general public get out of this, and how will this help them appreciate Dave's career, help them, you know, learn about and understand the history of television, the history of American politics and pop culture. So from my perspective, that's the real value. But we've got professional appraisers that we've worked with to identify, and you know, we're working towards getting that that final figure, we're not quite there yet, but we've got some help, you know, for determining those figures.
From you know, doing this as a job and a career, how, you know, every day that you're opening up something new, you just got to be totally excited, especially not only as an archivist and accepting these items at Ball State, but just as a fan, it just must be so exciting.
Oh, it's fascinating just to see all the different sorts of interesting things. I mean, this is certainly very atypical for what you might normally find in a college or university archives. We're normally dealing with historic photographs, letters, diaries, et cetera. So to see 15 Emmy Awards, to see a Kennedy Center honored, it's just kind of jaw-dropping. So it's a real treat. Personally, I'm very lucky to be able to work on this collection, but Ball State University is very fortunate for Dave's generosity to give this material to us, because it's a great asset to the campus community and to the general public to be able to view these things in the archives.
It's really amazing to me, too, is I remember Dean Richards, who's the entertainment reporter and critic for Tribune and WGN Radio and Television here, was there for the last show, and he just, you know, almost immediately after the show and the next day, there were dumpsters ready to go because they had to get ready for the new show. So there's so many things he said he saw inside the dumpsters. And I must admit, I have a stage piece that's about 6 feet long, about 2 feet high. It was one of the lighted panels that lined where he did his monologue every single night. And it was literally being tossed out. And I had some friends that are geeky and collectors like I am, and they grabbed a couple things. So I'm kind of proud to have one of those pieces, but it's great to hear that so much from the set and the most critical and important parts of the set, which is where all those interviews happen, has been saved and is going to be taken care of for generations.
Right. We're certainly very thankful for that. And we're certainly looking to refurbish and clean and preserve that furniture so that it will be in good condition and shape for a long time to come.
I found some cool things about David Letterman that you might not know. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this one, it was an easy one. Letterman surpassed friend and mentor Johnny Carson as the longest-serving late-night talk show host in history at 31 years. People, I think, still think it was Carson, but it was really Dave.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Letterman screen-tested for the lead role in the 1980 film Airplane, a role that eventually went to Robert Hayes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's very interesting.
Well, especially because, you know, he did a couple movies for, like, Chris Elliott and made appearances and stuff. But, you know, movie roles didn't come very frequently
to
Dave. Dave's mentor Johnny Carson's final television appearance ever came in May 1994 on a Late Show episode taped in Los Angeles when he made a surprise appearance during a top 10 list. The audience went wild as Letterman stood up and proudly invited Carson to sit at his desk. It's on YouTube. It is one of the most special moments because as soon as Johnny retired, he was gone. And I know at the end of when Johnny passed away, David said in one of his monologues that Carson, really up till months before he passed away, was sending David jokes for his monologue.
Wow. That I didn't know that. That's a really special relationship. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Oprah Winfrey appeared on Letterman's show in Chicago here. It was in 1989. Follow that appearance, the two had a 16-year feud, which, according to Letterman, started when he and his girlfriend decided to skip out on a bill, tricking the waiter into thinking Oprah agreed to pay for it. And there's some truth to that, because when she came on years later, there was a big hug and mea culpa, and they rode horses or did something together to make that all happen. And then even years after that, he did a Super Bowl commercial with Oprah and Jay Leno.
I remember that.
Yeah, right. Letterman, who always, I know he always just talked about Beavis and Butthead when it was on. He did the voice of Butthead's father in the 1996 Beavis and Butthead film.
Interesting.
Which I didn't know. Yep. Let's see. And, of course, he became an announcer at the public radio station in Indiana. And before moving to Los Angeles in 75, Letterman began performing at the Comedy Store, and Jimmy Walker from the TV show Good Times saw him on stage, and with an endorsement from another comic, Letterman joined a group of comedians whom Walker hired to write jokes for his stand-up act. And I knew that because he had Jimmy Walker like in the last few years on doing stand up, and you thought Jimmy Walker and Dave, Dave was always very loyal to the people and the friends that he kind of grew up with in comedy.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Well, this, These have been great facts. Thank you for sharing them with me and with all the listeners.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it. Well, again, we'll look forward to hearing about after all this stuff is archived and it's out on display for folks to see. And I'm sure you'll have some great crowds coming from Chicago as well. And this has been Michael Shaevsky. He's a senior archivist for Ball State University. Thanks for sharing all this and enjoyed this incredible experience.
Thank you so much for the time. We're very excited to keep working on this project and make the collection available to the public.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. All right, top stories are next on 720 WGN.